Today is election day across the country. Big cities like Houston, Philly, and San Francisco are holding mayoral elections. Mississippi and Kentucky will decide on governors. And if you think about it this way, 1 year ago today, the Democrats took back the Senate. A year from today, a new president will be elected. To address the past, present, future of the first Tuesday in November is John Harris, editor-in-chief of the Politico. Hey, welcome back, John.
Hey, glad to be back.
We want to talk to you about some other things. We ran out of time yesterday, so we're just going to throw a bunch of stuff at you. You ready?
Absolutely. Well, happy election day.
Oh, happy election day to you as well. Hey, what are a couple of local races or ballot initiatives you think will have national implications?
Well, if you'll pardon me for being perhaps excessively local, I'm talking to you from Virginia, just outside Washington where I live. Virginia is a good bellwether these days. There will be races for the state legislature. Republicans have been cleaning up over the past decade, but the pendulum has clearly swung, and there's a chance that Democrats will take at least one house of the Virginia General Assembly. That may seem small, but that would be a sort of a huge sign of the times that the country is really turning away from Republicans and is keeping an open mind to Democrats. Virginia is often a leading indicator.
Yeah, my sister lives in Richmond, Virginia, and she says she's actually been really surprised at how the state has turned. She's been there about 18 years.
Right. Well, we've had two Democratic governors get elected recently. People thought it was a fluke, but clearly is not a fluke because you're seeing these Democratic state legislators also gaining ground.
All right, let's head into the Wayback Machine to a year ago.
Sure.
When Democrats won control of the House and the Senate. Now, looking back, in terms of successfully completing an agenda, what grade would you give the Democrats this year?
Well, let's see, if we're going to grade on a curve and be generous, I think that really the best you could do is maybe is a C or, you know, possibly an incomplete. I mean, let's face it, a lot of Democrats voted for a Democratic Congress expecting that they would move very forcefully to end the war. It turned out that's not possible. There have been some Democratic achievements, like raise the minimum wage, do some other things. That's fine, but that is not the big question facing the country, nor is it the big question that Democratic voters wanted to address. So, look, a poll came out recently. This was from a Democratic pollster. Stan Greenberg said 70% of the country does not think the Congress is doing a good job. So you can't, with poll ratings like that, there's no way you can give an A or even a B.
So what's the problem?
Well, the problem is Washington is stalemated. There was a change in power a year ago, but it really didn't fundamentally alter the kind of World War I-style trench warfare between the parties. The Democrats didn't win big enough to impose their agenda. Democrats themselves are divided over the war. None of them like it, but some people want to bring troops home immediately. Some say no, that would be they agree with President Bush that that would lead to chaos and disarray in the Middle East. So they just don't have the numbers to really impose their will in Washington.
All right, I'm going back in the time machine, and I'm going a year ahead, or let's put a couple months ahead anyway. We've got these presidential endorsements coming down the pike. Former Vice President Walter Mondale has endorsed Hillary Clinton. Republican Senators Norm Coleman and Kit Bond have endorsed Rudy Giuliani. So these mean a whole lot, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I know you were waiting with bated breath over who would Norm Coleman endorse. This was a big question. You know, on the one hand, these things are obviously a little bit of a joke. Nobody cares who Norm Coleman's endorsing. Probably not even Coleman's family is paying that much attention to it, or Kit Bonds. But they're revealing as a sort of indication of which way the winds are blowing. A lot of these senators are that are backing Giuliani are doing so with a sense of like, hey, this guy's probably going to be the nominee. There's a sense of the train leaving the station. Let's get on board. They don't have huge consequences. Even somebody like Walter Mondale probably doesn't really,
I wonder if that was because of the whole Geraldine Ferraro, first woman vice president.
Might have been a little of that.
Subtext.
Remember the Clintons have been close to Mondale. Bill Clinton appointed him to be ambassador to Japan and so forth. It's not like these things have a big effect, but cumulatively, I think they do show which way the races are leaning, because people tend to try to hop on board with a winner.
Of any endorsements out there, which ones really matter? Do union endorsements matter? Newspapers, Al Gore, Oprah Winfrey?
Al Gore didn't do much for Howard Dean 4 years ago. I look for endorsements in the key states, particularly Iowa and New Hampshire. So when the Des Moines Register comes out and endorses somebody, that can matter. You know, even though newspaper endorsements don't typically swing a lot of votes, in that state, there'll be a lot of people paying attention. Even a small shift of votes can have big consequences. Union endorsements do matter, particularly in a heavily unionized state like Iowa. When particular unions come out, they bring organizational muscle behind the candidate. Of course, Iowa caucuses, they're all about organization, who can get their voters to the caucuses.
All right, so we look to the Des Moines Register in the New Hampshire. It's the union leader, is that right?
The union leader on the Republican side can move votes. A very conservative newspaper, a conservative Republican voters in New Hampshire sometimes pay attention to what the union leader has to say.
Pulled that one out of my back pocket.
Yeah.
What do you know?
Yeah,
I'm a big political geek. Hey, John Harris, editor-in-chief of the Politico, thanks for joining us again.
Okay, talk to you soon.